You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
As you're turning to Ephesians chapter 6, I want to welcome all of our campuses and those watching online and also our radio ministry, and just say we're so glad that you're connected. We're going to look into Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 10, which is what we went over last week, but we're going to get a little context and go in. We began a series last week called Unseen, that there's stuff that's going around us in the spiritual, in the heavenlies. There's a spiritual battle going on. There's spiritual warfare. And we ask the question, is this real? Is this just spooky kooky, or is there something to this? Is there something real? Are there things that we don't see? Is there good? Is there evil? Is there God? Is there the devil? And if there is, which we believe in our church that there is, then there's a battle that's going on for our attention, for our focus. And we talked about that unseen, that this radio, this old-timey radio that's a little kind of decorative piece that we have in our home, that it can tune in if it worked. It could tune in, but a radio that does work. It could tune in and get the radio waves. You could get a TV and you could see what's on TV by the antennas. I could take my laptop and to the wireless network and go anywhere in the world. There's unseen things happening. I'm speaking to you right now on a wireless microphone because it's shooting the signal back to an antenna. This little frequency thingamajigger gives us how many frequencies would be in this very room, because we've got to tune in all the mics so that we don't pick up a trucker CB going down the freeway next to us. So there's about 1,000 signals that are going through this room, and in Cyprus as well, in Siena and downtown, and the loop here in our Spanish campus, that all over that there are signals. Some of our listening, people are listening right now in their cars as they're driving down the road. There's wireless signals, there's radio signals, there's TV signals. There's all different frequencies that are going out. So much that we've got to have a machine, a little piece of gear to make sure we get on the right frequency of all the unseen that is going on. Well, there's unseen going on in the spiritual realm just as much as there is in the computer or TV or radio realm. And it moves life, as we talked about last week, from a playground to a battleground. Life isn't always easy. It isn't always an easy thing to go through life. There's people that die. There's people that get sick. There's hurts that happen in our life. There's times that we feel spiritual attack. It's a battleground to make it through this life, not just a playground. And we're looking into the book of Ephesians, and I want you to get in your mind who this book is to. This book is to the people that lived in Ephesus. It'd be like if we had a book called Houstonians that was written to us. It was written to the people of Ephesus. Now, let me give you a little background of the spiritual battle going on with the people of Ephesus, because I want you to get this in your mind. Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. We're going to hear about the Roman full armor. So Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. He's chained to a Roman guard for part of his life. He knows exactly what this is all about. And in Ephesians, these folks have been struggling with spiritual warfare. Now, if you just write down in your notes, in your listening guide that was in your weekly guide when you came in, you can write down there, you can write down Acts chapter 19, beginning in verse 16. Here's what it says. It says, "And the man who had an evil spirit leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they ran out of the house naked and wounded." That's a bad day, wouldn't you say? That's a bad day. Verse 17, "This became known to everyone who lived in Ephesus, both to Greeks and Jews, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was magnified. And many who become believers in Ephesus came confessing and disclosing their practices," which is evil practices. "Many of those who practiced magic collected their books and burned them in front of everyone. So they calculated their value. It was in 50,000 pieces of silver was the value. And in this way, the Lord's message prevailed and flourished." So these people in Ephesus, they had enough black magic stuff going on, enough things taking part in the, not the heavenlies, but in the satanic realms, that they brought them, and it was worth 50,000 pieces of silver. So these folks know what's going on with this stuff. And it says that the message of the Lord flourished, and it was strengthened. See, when you realize the darkness, it leads you to the light. When you understand the depths, you want to go to the heights. When you understand evil, you want to cling to goodness. When you understand the snake, you want the Savior. And what happened here is they realized in Ephesus, something's wrong. This is not the powers that we need to be about. There's an unseen battle that is going on. See, what we're going to talk about today is talking about the full armor of God, the protection of the Lord, how we walk into this battle. It's the full armor. It's not the half armor. It's not just a little bit of the armor. It's not whenever you need it, you pull it out of your closet. See, we dress differently for how we're going to live that day, don't we? The Astros don't put on the Rockets uniforms. The Rockets don't put on the Astros uniforms. It's a different sport of what's going on. The executive doesn't dress like the musician, usually. The artist doesn't look like the engineer. We dress differently for how we go into our workplaces. We get dressed up so that we can go to a nicer place to eat than we would just a fast food restaurant. Most of us look nicer today because it's Mother's Day, and we know our moms appreciate that. So we dress differently, and we're going to see the full armor of God. But let's get our context in Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. Ephesians 6, beginning in verse 10. In this verse of Scripture, it gives us this word on Ephesians. It says, "Finally, be strengthened by the Lord, and by his vast strength, put on the full armor of God." Underline full armor. The full armor of God, so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle or our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers and authorities and against the world powers of this darkness. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the full armor of God. Underline that again. So that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having been prepared to take your stand. Circle the word stand. Stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist. Righteousness like armor on your chest, your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace. We're just going to take three of them today. He says, I want you to stand in the strength of the Lord. It's a passive middle voice in the Greek. It's God who strengthens us, not us who strengthen ourselves. Stand in the strength of the Lord. Take the full armor of God. Understand that you are not fighting against your wife. You're not fighting against your boss. You're not fighting against the government. You're not fighting against your neighbor. You're fighting against a spiritual realm. And we fight from victory in Jesus Christ, not for victory. He has already died on the cross. He has declared it is finished. He is the victor. Satan is created. God is eternal. Satan will bruise his heel. Jesus will crush his head. He is a defeated foe, it tells us in Revelation, and he knows he only has a short time left. But woe to you, earth, because he has been hurled to you, and he has come to deceive. He is like a roaring lion. So we've got to have the full armor of understanding. We've got to dress differently if we're going to win. And the first thing that it says is, I want you to have the belt of truth. The belt of truth fastens with believing God is right. Now, this is just real simple here. Let's get this in our minds. What is truth? Truth is believing God is right. Well, I think I'm right. I think God's wrong. Then you're not going to walk in truth. It's not going to happen. Truth is when you say, God's right, and whatever I feel, then therefore must be wrong. But my feelings are not going to trump my faith. My faith is going to trump my feelings. Because I'm going to walk in the belt of truth, and I'm going to put this together. See, these folks in Ephesians, in Ephesus, they worshiped at the temple of Diana or Artemis. It's the same thing, whether you're Roman or Greek, how you use the word. It was a goddess of fertility. This goddess of fertility had all of these little balls all over her, but those were either considered to be seeds of fertility or eggs of fertility. That's what they would worship. That's not right. That's in a museum now. That's not God. And they had to realize the belt of truth was declaring that God was right. Now, why is the belt of truth the first part of the armor? Because the belt of truth is what held the sword, we'll see next week. The belt of truth is what held the breastplate of righteousness in place. This was the first thing that they would put on under their under tunic. They would put on then the belt, and then everything else would come. And this is symbolic because the first thing that we need to understand is truth. We got to understand that there's truth. If you don't begin with truth, you don't begin with anything, do you? Here's what we've done. We've made truth relative instead of absolute in our culture. The truth is kind of like beauty. It's up to the eye of the beholder. And so whatever is true for you isn't necessarily true for me. And whatever is true for them isn't necessarily true for those. And so we say this. We say, there is no absolute truth. To say that there is no absolute truth is an absolute statement, is it not? I absolutely believe that there is no truth. The absolute truth is there is no truth. That's like me saying this. Yo no hablo español. I don't speak Spanish. Well, I just spoke Spanish and telling you that I didn't speak Spanish. So obviously I do have some words, a few palabras of understanding español. So to make an absolute statement that I don't speak Spanish and say it in Spanish is a statement to say I speak a little bit of Spanish. And to make an absolute statement that there is no absolute truth is an oxymoron. It contradicts itself. See, where does truth come from? You've got to look at the source of truth. You've got to look at the fruit of truth. Truth comes from God. In Ephesians, just to give you a few Ephesians verses, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, it says this, assuming that you heard him and you were taught by him because truth is in Jesus. Truth is in Jesus. Truth comes from God. We speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. It says, and speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Christ, who is the head, Christ himself. Truth in love, John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Truth does not bind you in. Truth sets you free. I want to know what is true. You ever had a conversation like this with somebody? Don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. Tell me what really, really, what's the truth about this? Now, men, we know that when our wives ask for that, they don't always mean that. So sometimes you have to say, do you really want to know the truth about this? Yes, I do. Okay, here it comes. But you don't want anybody to lie to you. The atheist believes that lies are wrong because truth is right. And truth comes from Jesus. It holds it all together. It comes from the scriptures. It comes from believing that God is right. Believing that God is right. What he says about things is right. When God says it and we do it, we live in truth. When God says it and we don't do it, we live in lie. And the lie at some point will fall apart. Because you know how lies are. We've all lied. I've lied. You've lied. All of us have lied. We've all done that. You got to have more lies, don't you, to back up that lie. We always think about the phrase, you know, it's easier to tell the truth because you don't have to have a good memory when you tell the truth, do you? When you start lying, you better have a good memory. Lies or truth. Now, guess what? Here's the deal. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews chapter 6 says this. It's impossible for God to lie. Titus 1 verse 2 says this. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29, also the glory of Israel, that's God, will not lie or change his mind. He is not a man that he should change his mind. God cannot lie. If God lies, God's not God, right? Because God just disagreed with God, and that puts us in a whole different spin that God is now man, and man is now God is what we've tried to do in our society. God cannot lie. But now listen, in this thought of spiritual warfare, listen to John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father, the devil's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has not stood in truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he is speaking from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. What did Satan do from the very beginning in the garden? He lied to Eve. What does he do today? He lies to us. He is a liar. He is the father of all lies. It speaks from his very nature of liar for him to lie. And it speaks from the very nature of Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life for him to speak truth. So do we listen to the father of truth, God the Father? Do we listen to the father of lies, Satan himself? Satan wants to lie to you and lie to me. He is the father of lies, and God cannot lie. Vast difference. So what are three big lies of the enemy today. Let me just give you as a place of application. Three big lies of the enemy today that he lies to me about, he lies to you about. Here's what he lies to us about. Number one, he says you are worthless. He says you're worthless. You're not valuable. You're not true. You're not worth anything. You're worthless. Somebody else could do it better. Moms, on Mother's Day, do you feel like that at times? Boy, your kids would have been a whole lot better off if somebody else would have been the mom. You know, one of those moms that you only see the exterior of, you never see the interior of, you only see the smile with makeup and the beautiful hair and everything's going great and they're juggling so well. You don't see that without makeup, everything's falling apart. He lies and he says, you're worthless. You're worthless. Number two, he lies and he says this. Romans 5:8 basically says, for while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. You are worth everything. You're worth Christ. Number two is this. Your life is pointless. That's his second lie. Your life's pointless. I mean, you're not a missionary. You're not a minister. You're not preaching the word all the time. I mean, you're struggling with sin. You got all these different things. We just, what are we doing? We're materialistic, we're this, we're that, we got too much stuff. There's people without shoes and we got all this stuff, all of these different things. And he just comes and he says, your life's pointless. You don't even have a point in life. What are you doing and why are you doing it? Matthew 29:11 says, no, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, to give you hope and to give you a future. Your life, hear me, this is the truth. Your life has a point. It has a point. It is important. You are a difference maker in Siena, a difference maker in downtown and in Cyprus and at the Loop and in Espanol. It is a difference maker that God wants to make you. Now, can you be misfocused? Sure, we can all be misfocused. Can we be focused on the things that don't have as big of a point? But Satan lies to us. He says, you're worthless. You're not valuable. You're a failure. And your life is pointless. Why are you doing all this? It's vanity. And then third and continually, he lies about everything. Your responsibilities are overwhelming. Your responsibilities are overwhelming. Yeah, you can do everything through Christ who strengthens you, but not really. Your responsibilities are overwhelming. But you can do, Philippians 4:13, everything through Christ who strengthens you. See, that's the belt of truth. The belt of truth is your life is valuable and you are valuable and God loves you and Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. You're not worthless. And your life, it's not pointless. It has a tremendous point. You can glorify God as a person in business, as a teacher, as a mom, as a single, as a widow, as a retired, whatever it is. Your life has a great point for all of eternity. It's valuable. And your responsibilities are not overwhelming. Jesus Christ can help you through all of them. I get overwhelmed sometimes in my responsibilities, and here's what I do. It's just a little application. I just begin to write down everything I really got to do that day. I mean, not like I think I got to do that day. What do I really have to do that day? And you know what? The list is a lot shorter than when I felt like the list was. And I go, okay, let's just start going through them. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. That's how you do it, right? So let's just get it down there and say, Jesus, I give you these things and you take them and I'm not going to be overwhelmed. I'm going to let you do your work through me. Those are three lies of the enemy. And moms, he's lying to you. Dads, he's lying to you. Singles, he's lying to you. Are you believing him? Are you believing him? He's the father of lies. There's a spiritual battle. Put on the first thing in the morning, the belt of truth. I'm going to walk in truth. Let me tell you what, this week, it's been a place of me having to walk in truth. I told you last Sunday, if you were here, that satanic attack comes and it happens. And I felt like, man, if I'm preaching these things, I've got a better lookout. Monday morning, I got up, got out of bed. My back, my left side kind of hurt a little bit. Struggled with that a little bit years ago, and you got to watch it. But I got up, and then by about 10 o'clock that morning, I was at home, and I was laying on the floor of our bedroom, and I could not get off the floor. And I laid down Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and left the office early Thursday with ice, with laying on my back, with not playing with my kids, of laying in my bedroom all day. getting up to walk to the refrigerator to get another ice pack was like, I would just say, every step is Jesus, every step is Jesus, every step is Jesus. And I'm telling you, if you've ever had something like, it's like lightning in your back. It hurts bad. And I just was like, Lord, the timing of this has got to be the enemy. It's got to be the enemy. And I just said, Lord, you get the victory. You get the victory. So I'm standing here today, which is great. I feel good. But the Lord, to be able to get the victory. And so this is standing here after four doctor visits, after four massage therapies, after laying on my back for 4 days. I've said, Lord, I give it to you. I give it to you. And I laid there in my bed. I just want you to just get this in your mind, of just the belt of truth. I lay there in my bed. I didn't want to read my Bible. It's hard to read when you're hurting. And I just would put my phone on my chest as I would lay there, and I'd listen to Psalm 119, which takes 15 minutes to listen to on the Bible app. And I'd listen to it over and over and over and over again. And I'd just lift my arms to the Lord, and I'd just say, God, would you get the victory? God, whatever reason you have for this, God, whatever sin I need to confess, dear God, I give it to you. I mean, I'm confessing sins I had when I was like, when I was 12, Lord, I remember being jealous about that bicycle my neighbor got. I mean, anything I could do. But the belt of truth, Lord, you love me. I wasn't going to rob banks this week. I wasn't going to cuss people out this week. I wasn't going to steal anything this week. I was going to show up at church and pray and ask God to do something. I was going to meet with people and tell them about Jesus. I was going to read my Bible and prepare a message. And I'm laying flat on my back. Say, God, I give it to you. And I just over and over would listen to this song over and over. I pretty much listened to one song this week. It's called The Maker by Chris August. I see you in the sunrise. I see you in the rain. I see you in the laughter, and I feel you through the pain. More than just some words on a page, you have shown me a million ways that there's one who stands above them all. But there's one that stands above them all, the hands of creation nailed to a cross. Your love is like a mighty fire deep within my bones. I feel like I could climb 1,000 mountains all at once. I didn't feel like that, but I was praying it in faith. I never have to wonder if there's someone who cares for me. I love the Maker. The Maker loves me. I'd just lay there and I'd listen to that song and I'd listen to those scriptures and I'd say, I never have to wonder if someone cares for me. I love the Maker. And the Maker loves me. Even though I hurt, even though I lay here, the Maker loves me. My biggest goal Monday was just that I could just get out of bed. I could go to my son's baseball game. I sat there at the end of the bench as a coach in a chair with ice on my back, and I just would do everything I could to just get up. Stand there at first base and just coach his team for a moment. I'm telling you, the gratitude of the belt of truth is great and it's vast, and God loves you in your pain, and he loves you in your hurt, and he loves you when you're aching, and he loves you when you can't get up, and that's the truth. And if you don't believe in the belt of truth of Jesus Christ, you will believe the lies of the enemy. And that's what you got to strap on. As I strapped that belt on all this week, you know what? There's people that had it far worse than me, and they're dying of cancer. And they'll never walk again. And they'll get in a wheelchair every single day. And mine's just a thimble. Mine's days. It's just moments. But here's what I learned. I learned that I'm fragile and he's faithful. That's the truth. And if we're going to do spiritual warfare, then we've got to understand not just physically in our body, but we've got to put on the belt of truth. Malachi 4:2 is a verse I just claimed all week long. As for you who fear the Lord, that's me, Lord. As for you who fear the Lord, the Son of Righteousness will rise and there'll be healing in his wings. And you will leap like a young cow in joy, like a young cattle from the stall. You'll leap in joy. And I just said, Lord, let me leap, let me leap, let me leap. The belt of truth in a society of lies, will you fasten it and realize and say that God is right? He said he loves me, and I believe it. He said he's got something for me, and I believe it. I'm trusting him with everything I got. I love the maker, and the maker loves me. Bam! It ain't coming off. That's the truth, and that holds my sword, and that holds my breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness saves our heart. The breastplate of righteousness saves our heart. Righteousness throughout the scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, it says, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. In Philippians 3:9, it says, and I'll be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God is based in faith. See, there's a breastplate of righteousness, and this breastplate would cover the front and the back, and it would attach to the belt of truth. See, when you got truth, then you're going to get some righteousness. You're going to understand that Jesus died for you, and he gave you his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf, that we could become the righteousness of God. See, this is the gospel. This is the story. Jesus is making a trade. He's wanting to ask you, would you trade with me? I want to take your sin, and I want you to take my righteousness, and my righteousness is going to guard your heart in the breastplate of righteousness. So when Satan comes after you, your heart is guarded. It's saved because of the righteousness of Christ. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing what's right, isn't it? It's doing what's right. Truth is believing God is right. Righteousness is living what is right. And we'll never be righteous in our own, but God gives his righteousness imputed upon us, given to us, showered over our heart. Your heart, if you're a believer in Christ, moves from a heart of sin to a heart of righteousness. Your righteousness is the righteousness of Christ. That's what it is. So now, watch, I have the righteousness of Christ. I have the belt of truth. What's going to give me protection against this spiritual warfare? I'm going to walk out what's right. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to live what's right. And a great protection against the enemy in your marriage is do what's right. Watch what's right. Listen to what's right. Think about what's right. Philippians 4, verse 8. For whatever is lovely, whatever is filled with joy, whatever is filled with truth, whatever is worthy of praise, all these things, I'm going to think about these things. I'm going to put this in my mind. I'm going to have righteousness coming in my mind. Seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. So God has put in you what is right. That's the Holy Spirit of God for a believer. If you don't know Christ as Savior, Jesus wants to trade your sin for his righteousness, and that's a really good deal. And then you get the righteousness of Christ. So now the love of Christ compels us, and we walk out the righteousness. Now I want to do what's right. I desire my spirit to do what is right. Righteous living protects us from the enemy. Number three, shoes of the gospel. We share everywhere we go. Shoes of the gospel, we share everywhere we go. Verse 14, it says, stand, it's a strength, with truth like a belt around your waist and righteousness like armor on your chest and your feet sandaled with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Cleats are different than dress shoes. Dress shoes are different than running shoes. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. We said we want to run with the gospel. Our shoes of the gospel share everywhere we go. Think about even how we do it in some of our fairy tales. Cinderella is all about the shoes, isn't it? Dorothy and Wizard of Oz is all about the shoes, isn't it? Walking out the gospel is all about the shoes, isn't it? It's everywhere we go. We're walking out the gospel, and we're walking with God to say we want to share the gospel. What is it? The gospel is good news that Jesus wants to make a trade. And the gospel is a gospel of peace. Gospel of peace. Did you see that? I want to put something together for us on these three things that we're not seeing clearly. Truth and peace in Christianity come together. Truth and peace in Christianity come together. See, God's truth brings peace. Does that mean every time you tell the truth, it's going to be the best moment you ever had? And it's everybody's going, oh, that's so peaceful. No. But it means this, that God's truth is intended to bring us peace. And when we do what God says is right, think about if we do in our world what God says is right, you can remove a lot of problems, can't you? Remove a whole lot of problems. So truth in Christianity is not being obnoxious. Truth in Christianity is not being violent. Truth in Christianity is being peaceful. And with that peace that we have that passes all understanding, now we share, if you want to be at peace with God, if you want to be at peace with men, then you're going to have to understand the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ, and we share everywhere we go. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has come to save our unrighteous souls through the righteousness of him on the cross being given to us. In just a moment, you'll be able to receive that if you don't have that. And when we are people of righteousness walking in truth, now we walk in a way that says we want to walk with peace and we want to walk with the gospel, the good news that you can be saved, you can know Jesus, you can have a relationship with God. And even when you lay flat on your back, you could say, I love the Maker and the Maker loves me, and walk in those ways. See, this is just the beginnings of our minds getting around this armor of God. We got more armor coming next week. Please come back and be able to receive that. I want to close with this. The belt I'm wearing right now. Interesting belt. A few years ago, I asked our Faith Center if they would send me a belt that was from the Faith Center. This is a belt that's been given away, as we all do, where you put it in the trash bag and you take it down to the clothes closet and you give them clothes you don't want anymore. And so I asked them if they would send me a belt from there that I could wear. And so for years, you didn't know it, but I've been wearing this belt preaching. I got invited to a party at the governor's mansion a few years ago. I wore this belt to the governor's mansion from the mission center. Hand me down. What poor people wear. I've worn this belt when we are saying, would you give your pledges to the kingdom of God and to see what God could do? I've worn this belt when we've declared millions of dollars raised. I've worn this belt when I thought I was a little bit too big for my britches. I said, well, I'm putting on that belt today to remind me I'm not too good to wear things from a clothes closet. I've worn it numerous times, numerous places. I've worn it to fancy places with rich people. I've worn it normal place, I want wherever it is, sometimes I just pull it out. And I wear it today because I want you to hear me loud and clear. This is a belt of truth. Belt of truth that I'm not too good for anything and you're not too good for anything. And we need God. No matter how fancy we get, we need Jesus. No matter how down we are, we need Jesus. And so we strap on, even symbolically, a hand-me-down belt from a mission center that somebody didn't want. Somebody, you might be watching me like, doggone, that's my belt. The pastor took my belt. It wasn't for him. Tell him to go buy his own belt. I got some nice belts too. I wear those. It's okay. But I want to symbolize to you our deep need for the full armor of God. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord, the vastness of his strength, for you do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You need the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, with our feet shod with the gospel of peace. And now we walk in his power. Do you know Jesus? Are you living for Jesus? You believe in the father of lies and his concoctions? Or are you believing God is right? And I love the Maker. Maker loves me.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.